NCHC.TV studios. This is College Hockey West Weekly, brought to you by Jesse Ray's Barbecue at 308 North Boulder Highway in Henderson. Stop in for lunch, cater your next event, or just buy a couple of bottles of our award-winning sauces. The NCHC and NCHC.TV. Subscribe to NCHC.TV to watch the best in college hockey since 2013. The TAG Creative Group. Search TGRANRUD at redbubble.com and let us create a unique design for you or your business. Caesars Entertainment Resorts and Casinos, where an iconic vacation awaits you at any of our destinations around the world. The Spaghetti Shack, classic Italian comfort food quickly, with locations in Tempe and Pine Top. Order on something more. Faith, education, and hockey at liberty.edu. College Hockey Inc., your NCAA hockey resource. Jets Pizza. Sign up for our Crunch Club at jetspizza.com and have special deals delivered to your inbox. And by the Caesars Sportsbook app, a proud partner of the NHL. College Hockey West Weekly from the NCHC.TV studios is a part of the IceTimeHockeyWest.com network. Here are your hosts, Scott Strandy and Paul Hornstein.
Hockey fans, anywhere that you may be listening to us live on the Podbean app, Scott Strandy with you tonight in beautiful Palm Springs, California, the balmy 102-degree day here in mid-May. My co-host, as always, joining me from that big, beautiful palatial estate, not far from the landing strip. We like to call it the Command Center, Paul Hornstein. Paul, how are you? How are things on the island tonight?
Again, as proof, who really is in the command center? Well, we'll see how the show goes tonight. Let's see who's really in the command center.
Okay. Well, anyway, the palatial estate. How are things on the island at the estate?
I don't know. I'll let you know if I actually was in an estate. I'll let you know.
Okay. Any aircraft taking off nearby or?
Well, not at this time of night.
Oh, okay. Too late. Too late for them to leave from that destination, that private site.
Anyway, no, I wouldn't know.
We'll leave it at that. We're going to conclude Omaha week. I'm going to tell everybody right now, this is gold. This is pure gold if you're an Omaha Mavericks hockey fan. Just about 2 months follow him. He told me they just call me coach. He said, everybody does, including my grandkids. They call me coach. All right. That's it.
All right. Well, that makes sense.
So just, you know, Gabs is good. Coach Gabs. It's cool. So we're all cool with that. At least we all those formalities out of the way.
It's not.
Great stuff today that I was able to get. And I think you're going to really enjoy it. So I don't want to mess around too long.
We don't have the time to.
Style. As I said, Mike Gabinet coming up right now. So here you go, folks. This is the head coach from the University of Nebraska.
All right, welcome back in, college hockey fans. It is Omaha week. We have the head coach from the Omaha Mavericks, Mike Gabinet, with me. Mike, first of all, how are things? How has the summer been so far besides extremely busy?
Yeah, I think that's the name of the game nowadays in college athletics, in particular hockey, that you kind of just have to know that once the season ends, you're going to be busy for another couple months. And then our guys are just wrapping up their finals, and hopefully middle of May we can maybe catch our breath and just kind of actually get to reflect on the season and think about hockey a little bit and not so much just your roster and your roster for next season.
Okay. Now, stretch in the NCHC, you guys were playing some really good hockey. You lose your last two games as really heartbreakers. I saw them both. A tough 4-1 loss to Denver in the Frozen Faceoff Championship, and then a heartbreaker, and I do mean heartbreaker, 3-2 to Minnesota in Sioux Falls. Your thoughts on that and what you took away from it and what your team took away from it?
Just overall, very proud of the group on how we played. And obviously, to get to those games takes a lot of things you're doing right and a lot of things that go your way. And obviously we know what type of team Denver had. And I think it was 2-1 with about 4 minutes left there in the championship game there. And so really thought we played them hard. And then, as you mentioned, a real heartbreaker against Minnesota where I thought we really, you know, carried the play and did a very good job against them. And I didn't think the final score was indicative of how the game should have turned out. But that's hockey for you. And we put on both sides of that equation. So, but just, again, just I think, you know, just talking to people from Minnesota and a lot of people at that game, I think just our program really impressed everybody that we talked to. I think that's actually helped us get some of these recruits here in the portal, et cetera, just with, you know, how well the program's done and just the quality of hockey that the team is playing and quality of player we're producing. So for that, it's always a good thing to be getting that feedback from people around the country.
Well, I was in the press box, and I can tell you, it looked like Minnesota was purely exhausted. The pressure that you put on the last 2 minutes, they were hanging on for sure. And it's kind of a shame that you guys weren't able to push it over the top and had so many great opportunities. And like you say, that is hockey. But I watched some of you guys, and I got to know a few of you guys during the course of the season. One of them that stood out to me is Nolan Sullivan. And as I told you off air, I'm in Coachella Valley now. With the Firebirds and Ontario, we cover the Pacific Division. So the Kansas City Mavericks, the team that he signed with, is the ECHA affiliate of the sure. Firebirds. And I've heard nothing already about good things about Nolan and what his opportunity might be down the road with this organization. So what have you heard and what have you thought from what Nolan in particular has done and what he meant to your program?
Well, not surprising, right? Not surprising when you know Nolan to see, hear that type of feedback about him. He's an exceptional young man and an exceptional hockey player as well. And I think I've told the story a few times now, but he was kind of my first recruit when we got to Omaha and you know, had a kind of vision to build it around really high character individuals. And obviously we saw that in Nolan and he did deliver just on that. Not only on the ice, but off the ice, and just a tremendous individual, tremendous leader, and really a program builder, in my opinion. So couldn't be more grateful for all he contributed to the Omaha culture and to the city and the university. And he'll always have a home here. And now he's off to the pro career, and he's going to do just as well there as he did here. So really excited to watch him here as he's on his journey now in the professional ranks. I know once he's all said and done hockey, too, he's going to have some big-time opportunities in the business world here in Omaha and anywhere he wants to be because of the things he's done and the foundation he's laid.
And I singled him out just because I've gotten to know him over the last couple of years. But so you have so many guys, Mike, that are making impacts, and that has to be really gratifying for your program. And it certainly can't hurt recruiting, can it?
Yeah, it's one of the most pleasant surprises, I think, about this offseason when you have agents or different people reaching out because of that reputation of development that we've been able to establish the last few years. So that's always a nice thing when, you know, not too many people, you know, maybe know about Omaha out of their first impression, just obviously being in the Midwest and not a lot of hockey communities right within the immediate vicinity. And so now to start establishing that reputation of just development and helping prepare guys for the next level and people taking notice, it's a big, you know, lots of contributions from the staff and the players that have come here before to set the foundation for the future as well. So it's an exciting time for the program, and hopefully we can just keep building upon that good progress.
I have so many things I want to touch on. I know we don't have a whole lot of time, but I have to ask you, how is the community? I know that you guys did a bunch of work after the devastating tornadoes in Lincoln and Omaha. And how are things going right now, and how is the rebuilding process? I know the people in Omaha are pretty diehard, but, boy, that's devastation.
Well, man, I'll tell you one thing. You know, obviously, I went to school here, so I know about it firsthand, and having living here now for the last 8 years, Omaha is a special place with the community. I've said it many times, I wouldn't sell our house for $1 million just because of our neighbors and the people that are in our community and just how close we are with them. And you saw that firsthand now with the tornado that went through, just how many people are stepping up and helping each other out, and kind of no questions asked, just how can you help? And we were actually down in Florida for our convention there, and sure enough, Tyler Rowagon on our team and a couple other guys on our team heard about Dave, who sings the national anthem for our games quite often. House got destroyed, and they kind of rallied the troops and went out there to help help clean up and help any way they could. So great initiative by our players, and just another example of community here in Omaha and the support for everybody has for each other.
Okay, let's talk about this upcoming season. We'll start with the schedule, because when I saw, and I haven't seen the whole schedule, I saw the NCHC, and I know you're going to play in two big tournaments out here in the western part of the United States, but how excited are you to bring your guys to the Icebreaker in Las Vegas, and then again to the very first Hockey Cactus Cup in Palm Springs? And I can tell you firsthand, Acrisure Arena and everybody there is going to do a fantastic job of welcoming you and the other three teams. So how did it come about, and how excited are you for those two tournaments?
Well, Coach Kemp did a great job with Icebreaker in Las Vegas, getting that kind of lined up to play. I think it's going to be us and UMass and Minnesota and Air Force, so a very strong field there. And then with the tournament in Palm Springs there too, Norm Bazin from Lowell reached out, and I believe the people that built their arena were also the people that built Coachella's arena as well there. So he connected with us about playing the possibility up there, and I've been to that rink before to watch an American League game, and like you said, it's a beautiful facility, obviously in an unbelievable part of the country to visit. So I think it's going to be a real great experience for us as a program to play two destination tournaments, and also for our fans. We have a lot of fans that love to travel, and we need to, for them to experience that as well.
Did you tell everybody that you're not only going to those two tournaments, but this year you're also going to get a trip to Tempe, Arizona? You've kind of got the West covered this year. You guys are going to be enjoying some sunshine, aren't they?
Yeah. Being from Canada, anytime I get a chance to get out in the sun, I'm going to take it. So we're all looking forward to those three trips, that's for sure.
Okay, the NCHC just added Arizona State. They became will become a full-fledged member July 1st. Just your thoughts on the NCHC and how important they are to continuing the growth that you guys already have and the strength that you have.
Yeah, well, they just got stronger, right? I mean, I think that last year for most of the season, we probably had seven teams, if you include ASU, in the top 20. And Minnesota Duluth not too far out of that mix as well. So it's good and bad. It's great because the level of competition is so high, and it's also extremely challenging because you're facing a good opponent every weekend, and you know, you're seeing good teams struggle as well, as we saw with Duluth, who is you know, I believe is still a powerhouse in college hockey. You know, kind of on the outside looking into the top 20 last season. So it's just going to be one of those things where it just continues to get stronger and stronger, and that just forces the teams to continue to get better and better, and I think that's why you see so many champions out of our conference.
Mike, when I look at your schedule last year, I think I maybe even commented to you about this, but I thought schedule plays such a huge part. The way yours came together, and the way you had a strong off-season schedule and got a lot of home games early and then rolled into the NCHC, and it to me, it kind of built the way you ended up the season, getting as far as you did into the tournament and really being a really strong hockey team. This year, I haven't seen the whole thing, but to me, what I'm seeing so far is I like your schedule. I like your NCHC schedule. I think you have the two bye weeks at just the right time. Do you look at that, or you just say, hey, you know what, put the next team in front of me and we'll just play whoever, whenever?
I wish I was that strategic to take some credit for it, but unfortunately nowadays with scheduling, it's sure not an easy task, but, you know, just to get teams to come out to Omaha to play us is not an easy task for non-conference, but as you mentioned, I think having those tournaments and the strength of those tournaments and just the bye weeks, and so I think you have to kind of just develop that kind of next weekend mindset and do as much as you can strategically to set yourself up for success. So a little bit of both, a little bit of luck, a little bit of planning, But like I said, you know, just with the way scheduling works nowadays with independents and everything, it's been a little bit of a daunting task. And I've been fortunate to have Mike Kemp help me out along the way to tackle some of those situations. But like you said, I do like our schedule for next year. I think we got some really quality non-opponents and non-conference opponents, and also, you know, obviously an always challenging NCHC schedule, but with some good buys in there as well.
Okay, so you talk about Coach Kemp. He's retired now, they say. I'm going to talk to him here in a few minutes, but is he really retired? I mean, his name's going to be on that rink, and you guys know everything that he's done for Omaha hockey. You certainly do. So does his role really change, or is he still going to be the influential guy of, I call him Mr. Hockey in Omaha?
No, well, hopefully we'll change a little bit where he's not in the office so much. And I think the biggest thing is just to get the summers off and to enjoy time in his cabin with his family and you know, obviously much deserved break from the grinds of college athletics there. So, but he's going to definitely be around in a consultant role and you know, still be around in a lot of the games and odd projects here and there. So I think it's the perfect role for him. You know, to allow him to spend some more time with his grandkids and family. But obviously, you know, he's never going to be disconnected from the program, just with all the work he's done in the past and in the present and the future. So it'll be awesome to have him around. And he's a guy that cares immensely about the program and is obviously a huge reason why I'm in Omaha.
Okay, so let's talk about this roster you're building right now, and you tell me who you can and cannot talk about. I understand the NCAA rules, but the portal, and my co-host Paul Hornstein, who couldn't be on right now with us because he teaches school as well. But anyway, we looked at this, and he goes, oh, my goodness, Omaha is going to be a powerhouse right from the start. We know some of these players that you picked up. We know what this portal has become, and it's kind of scary at times, and we know the NIL thing and all that, but I think that the additions you got to kind of offset the guys that you lost to graduation and to the pro ranks really is impressive. So how did that all come about? We talked about it briefly, but maybe Omaha has become a hotbed for that, but how did that all come about, and can you talk about a couple of guys? I know that the two guys from Alaska, Brady Risk and Harrison Israels, sure. I know pretty well.
Yeah, I think, as you mentioned, I think, you know, we're getting a good reputation out there of, you see the Zach Girdles and the Jack Randles and some of those guys that we've got previously from transferring in that, you know, maybe didn't work out at a previous school, and they've had a ton of success here with opportunity and also them, you know, taking it upon themselves to take control of their development. So when you have some success like that, that usually leads to more people wanting to experience that and come to be a part of that. So I think that's exactly what's happening. I think people are, the word's getting out about Omaha and what we're doing with players and from a development perspective, an opportunity perspective, and good things are happening. And as you mentioned, you know, whether it's Brady Risk or Harrison Israel or Sam Stang or, you know, a bunch of different PDDB from Minnesota, we've got some really good additions up front. And then also on the back end there with Dylan Gratton and Aiden Gallagher, just some really good additions, just kind of up and down our lineup that I think not only did it help us on ice, but also help us off ice. As you said, you know a few of those kids, and just the type of work ethic and the type of character they have will fit right in to help replace the Jack Randles and the Nolan Sullivans and the Matt Millers and all those good players, Victor Mancini and Ty Muellers and all those key guys we're losing. You're hoping for the next man to come in now and to fill that void and keep contributing to the culture and to the progress of the university.
I asked Brad Berry last year, who had a completely new defensive corps in North Dakota. I said, how do you bring in these guys and bring in the culture? And do you ever worry as a head coach that maybe guys aren't going to fit, or maybe it's going to take too long for them to fit on the ice? Different styles. Some guys wore letters before. They may not be wearing letters now. What's your thoughts on that, and how do you mold them into a team? I know it starts probably this summer with your strength and conditioning, but how do you mold them into a Maverick team? I'm guessing 7,000 people in the building every night will help.
Yeah, I think you have to start fresh every year. That's the first thing. I think you can't take things for granted or expect things to continue over. You have to make sure that you're starting fresh every year, and then also rely upon the guys that you have returning that know what Omaha's about and how we do things. And we've got some great returning guys as well. So I think when you have a mix of really quality people coming into the program and quality guys returning, and you take the time to start over again from a culture perspective with expectations and standards and beliefs and all those core values that are so important, I think that's how you start to frame your new team. And every team's a little bit different. Every team's a little bit different. And that's the fun part of building a new team each year. And it's the one time that exact team will be together. So we'll be in the process of doing that. And we'll definitely miss some of the guys that we don't have back, but we're also excited for other guys to step up in their development and in their leadership roles. And we got some guys that are going to do a great job of doing just that.
All right, two final ones for you. One, I would be totally remiss if I didn't talk about your goaltender, and particularly the goaltending in the NCHC. When I look at it on paper, Mike, I think that may be the best conference of goaltenders I've ever seen in 40-plus years of looking at college hockey. But Simon Lacozzi, he's your backstop. He's a maverick, correct?
He's a what, sorry?
He's a maverick. He emphasizes everything that you want to do.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, Pete Aubrey, our associate coach that does a lot of work with the goaltenders. We were actually watching video yesterday, if you can believe it, on Simon, just from the start of the season to the end of the season. And just, obviously, he's always been a great goalie, but even to see his progress throughout the year, Coach Aubrey did a great job really working on some things with him, and Simon did a great job really continue to push himself to get better and not be satisfied and want to continue to grow and get better. So pretty neat to obviously watch a very good goaltender become even better. And lots of to him and had a great season.
All right. I will tell you just a quick story. I did an interview with him at your arena after a practice, and he was on the other side of the glass in the stands sitting by me. And a puck hit the glass, and he jumped about 6 feet in the air. And I said, "Hey, you're not supposed to be doing that." And he goes, "Hey, I will stop anything coming at me on the ice, but I don't want to be anywhere near when I'm off the ice," which I thought was hilarious.
Smart guy, right? Smart guy, exactly. Exactly.
Okay, final one for you. Tell the folks out there in Omaha and everywhere else, even the people here in Coachella Valley, what can they expect from the 2024-25 version of the Omaha Mavericks?
Yeah, I think to be excited. I think we're going to keep our identity of that hardworking and, high compete and highly competitive and all those traits that I think have been, established for a long time with our program. And I'm excited for just a new look too. It'll be exciting to see I'm not exactly sure what structure we'll use or style of play until you see the personnel you have and you see them in the flesh. So to be determined on a couple of things, but I do know one thing. We're going to work hard. We got high character individuals that are going to compete for as long as the game's going, and really looking forward to next season.
Coach, I appreciate your time. I know your schedule's busy. Enjoy the summer when you can. And we'll look forward to seeing you a couple different, at least three different times as you come out west.
No, I appreciate your support. You always do a great job with doing your homework and insight to our program and supporting our players and staff and university. So thanks for taking the time to give us that coverage.
Absolutely, Mike. Thanks a lot. That's head coach Mike Gabinet from the Omaha Mavericks. We'll be right back in just a few minutes to get you into another segment. This one with the, what do I call it? How about I just say Mr. Hockey Omaha and Mike Kemp? We'll be right back.
All right, Paul Hornstein, you had a chance to hear it for the first time. It's a lot. How did you digest it? What did you think of it?
Well, they're going to be hard to play with. They're going to be sandpaper, and they really, really got it together towards the end of last season. I hadn't even realized that basically 8 of the 9 teams that will be in the NCHC this year were in the top 30 in the pairwise. Your favorite thing.
Thank you. I'd almost forgotten about that for a minute.
Yeah, I know.
Bring it up. Way to go.
No problem. But I mean, it just, again, just think about the team that you know went into things this year, you know, this past season, and you know they swept North Dakota. You know,
yeah.
I mean,
yep. I'm not gonna.
I'm sorry, 3 out of 4 against North Dakota. I'm sorry, 3 out of 4.
You're thinking about the Tigers, not the Mavericks.
They did pretty good against Colorado College too.
yeah.
You know, and that's kind of a mirror game, you know, because the way that you know CC likes to play, or at least liked to play last year, and it's just this team is just
so
much
ask,
so a lot of respect for this team because again. You have to respect teams that consistently grind it out.
Okay, 2 questions for you before we go to break and then come back with my interview with Mike Kemp. The goaltending in the NCHC, we talked about how good it was last year. It's going to be better. Paul, is there any better conference across the board in goaltenders preseason-wise that you've seen or can even imagine? Because I can't.
No, not that I know of.
Okay.
Not that I know of.
So when you look at the strong goaltending, and here's the next question. You know it. I asked Brad Berry this at NCHC Media Day. I talked to him about it all year long. You can have a lot of great guys coming in, the guys from Alaska, Minnesota, everywhere, and they've wore letters, some of them. Some of them had not. Some will wear letters possibly with Omaha. But how do you blend that? And do you think this is going to work out well for Omaha, that they're going to be able to take those talented players and blend them in to make them a team like the Omaha Mavericks were last year?
I don't even want to acknowledge your...
I can't find any other way to say Mavericks, but anyway. But go ahead.
You can, but that's neither here nor there.
So can they blend them in your estimation?
Yeah,
make
I think
them
that
a championship caliber team.
I think they can, and I think they will. Again, you have the goaltending to help you get started if you're struggling a little bit to start the year. You know, building that chemistry. But you know, between Denver and North Dakota and Omaha and ASU and probably, you know, that's 5 or 6 teams right there with top-notch goaltending out of 9.
Yep.
Right?
Yep,
I mean, we've
you
seen
are
a little,
100% correct.
We've seen a little bit of Zach Sandy with your Bulldogs. Very little, but he has played. And you just have to assume that... you know, if he's playing up there or for Coach Sandlin, you know, he's going to be at the worst solid.
I like that. A lot of teams would take that solid.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Absolutely. So.
All right. So let's take a quick break. Let's come back. We've got to jump into Mike Kemp here. Then we'll have a chance to chat about his comments right after that. So. We'll be right back in about 4 minutes.
Okay.
It's time to drop the puck on the nation's best college hockey conference. We bring you closer to the action all season long with access to exclusive on-demand content and more than 140 live games. Catch every big goal and clutch save. When you can't be there, we have you covered here. Stream on your phone, computer, or straight to your TV, and don't miss a moment from your favorite team. Subscribe now to watch the best in college hockey at NCHC.TV. If it's NCHC hockey, it's on NCHC.TV.
The St. Louis Sports Commission invites you to become part of the legacy of the heartland of hockey as they and the city of St. Louis host the 2025 NCAA Frozen Four and ACHA National Championships. From the Stanley Cup to college champions to an exploding youth hockey community, St. Louis hockey has a long storied tradition. Find out how you can be a part of it by visiting us at www.stlsports.org. The St. Louis Sports Commission, making St. Louis a better place to live, visit, work, or play through sports.
Passion, talent, development. NCAA hockey offers all that and its players. Banner or player, nothing compares to college hockey. CollegeHockeyInc.com and follow at College Hockey.
After a hard day at work or a long week, what's better than good comfort food to put you at ease? At the Spaghetti Shack, we say the answer is comfort food that's made by somebody else. The Spaghetti Shack has taken spaghetti and meatballs, the classic Italian comfort food, to a portable level. ASU alumni owned and operated the Spaghetti Shack has three locations. At 6340 South Rural Road in Tempe, the ASU location at 922 East Apache Road, and 952 West White Mountain Road in Pine Top. For lunch, dinner, or catering as well, call us at 480-687-2485 or order online at thespaghettishack.com.
All right, Scott Strandy here in beautiful Palm Springs, California. Yes, you heard me, California. It's hot here, but it's going to be even hotter this January, the 3rd and 4th, when the original, the inaugural Hockey Cactus Cup is played with four great NCAA teams. You're talking UMass Lowell, you're talking Omaha, you're talking Holy Cross and Michigan Tech, all going to gather right out here in Palm Desert, California for the Hockey Cactus Cup. Tickets are on sale now. If you want good seats, you want to make sure you get a chance to see some of the best college hockey, go ahead and go online to acrisureArena.com/event/cactuscup, and you will find everything that you need. If you have questions, you want to know more, by all means, reach out to them at Acrisure Arena or reach out to us. I'll be happy to help you out and give you some information on how to see some great college hockey this January.
CHC.TV Studios, ITHSW Podcast presents College Hockey West Weekly.
Indeed it is, College Hockey West Weekly. It's a continuation of Omaha Week. Scott Strandy with you today in Palm Springs, California, about 10, 11 miles right now from Acrisure Arena, the host of the Hockey Cactus Cup. My co-host is always joining me from that big, beautiful, palatial estate on Long Island, New York. We call it the Command Center. Paul Hornstein, are you ready to hear from Coach Kemp? Because I'm told that's what we call it, Coach Kemp.
Well, that's what he says, so I can live with that.
I didn't get a chance to ask if I could call him Kemper. And by the way, he had a tee time, so he had to go out and play some golf today. That's what retired people do, he told me. But anyway, if you don't know the background of Mike Kemp, shame on you, because he is Mr. Hockey Omaha. He's the guy that got college hockey going in Omaha. He's going to tell you about it here in just a minute. He's the guy that still drives it. We're talking about NCAA regional tournaments, the scheduling events, doing the yeoman's work, helping out Mike Gabinet whenever he can to put together a schedule, a competitive schedule, and supporting this team like no other. Here we go. Here's Mike Kemp.
All right, welcome back in, hockey fans, to College Hockey West Weekly. It's Omaha Week. No better way to wrap up Omaha Week than getting to the man. I just call him Mr. Hockey Omaha because Mike Kemp is that. He's the guy that made this program go, makes it go, and some great honors have been bestowed on him over the last couple of weeks. I know he's going to be really modest, but we're going to dig it out of him. I will also say that, and I want to start off with this, Mike, is first of all, thanks for taking some time. I know the retirement. Somebody told me you've been in athletics, college athletics, for 48 years. I said, this guy started when he was like five? Because you look like you're 55.
Well, you're very kind. But yeah, I've been in the business for 48 years. I started out as an assistant coach at Costanza Dolphus College in Minnesota, my alma mater, and never got out of it after that. So it's been a tremendous career, and it's been a great experience. I've been blessed in so many different ways by having so many different outstanding people become a part of my life, and it's just, as I reflect on it daily, it's just been such a tremendous ride.
Okay, we're going to get into all of that in Omaha hockey in just a minute, but devastation and tornadoes, you were probably in Florida when it all happened, but tell me about how things are now in Omaha and Lincoln, and the devastation that your community saw, and how your team and the community itself are coming together.
Well, actually, the day it occurred, it was the night before I left for Florida. Oh. So I actually was driving home from the office the day that, right as the sirens were going. But fortunately for myself, the coach cabinet, for our vice chancellor, Adrian Dowell, the storm was about a mile and a half to 2 miles away from our homes. And so we were not terribly affected, but it has certainly been devastating to our community. So many areas in West Omaha, out in the suburban area, were completely flattened by the storm as it came through. It was a massive, massive storm. And it affected some, you know, like anything else, it affects everybody in our community. Specifically for us, one of our original Maverick hockey players, Tom Schaefer, who is assistant chief of police here in Omaha. He played on our first team here in 1997-98. His house was destroyed. One of our major anthem singers, who's also an Omaha police officer, his home was also destroyed. So we, you know, it touches everybody. It hits everybody, and it certainly will affect us for the foreseeable future. You know, and I'm just so proud. When we were in Florida, many of our players that were still here, kids that were still in school, went out voluntarily without any direction from administration, without any direction from the coaching staff, formed up right away the next day, went out and were assisting with so many of the cleanup areas that were going on out here in Elkhorn and in Bennington and in Blair, and really pitched in to help out, which makes, again, so proud of the culture that Coach Gabnick has built within our program, the kind of young men that he's recruiting. It just really speaks volumes of what we've got within our program here in Omaha.
Okay, I'm going to save all your accolades for the end here so we can do it properly. But when you look at this program, Mike, where it is right now, goodness, my co-host and I looked at the job that Coach Gabnick's done in rebuilding when guys leave. And guys leave for graduation. Some may be left in the portal. And some turn pro. And you got to refill those slots. And I asked him, I said, what's the key to doing that? He said he thinks maybe one of the keys, at least, is the culture that's in and the ability to send players on to the next level. Would you echo those thoughts?
Absolutely. I've known Michael since he was 18 years old. He was one of my recruits and played for me for 4 years. And I noticed, even at that young age, his ability to kind of think the game, his ability to think about his team, about his teammates, and what he's done since he's taken over our program is built a culture of accountability. The players are accountable, but they're also treated with great respect. And what happens is they all seem to bond together extremely well. As I look at the reason we had the success that we had this past season, was I really attribute it immensely to the culture they built, the communication within their program, how players understand their responsibility, how players understand what their role is, how players understand their commitment to the program. And I think all of that helps to build a confidence, a camaraderie, a teamwork. And what it really does is helps prepare the players for what they're going to face at the next level. And I think they do it together. They bond together well. And so much of our success the last few years, not just this past season, but over the last few years, has been largely attributed to the way they built that feeling within the locker room, the commitment to each other, the level of trust they have within from players to coaches, coaches to players, all of that is really what's paid off.
Mike, I think one of the things that I hear often when I talk to people about Omaha hockey is the reference to you is always being called coach. Is that something you take affectionately? Because they will always think of you as coach when they talk about Omaha Mavericks hockey.
It is. It's really, it's something that I take very seriously. It's an honor for me to be referred to that way, right, by so many people, not just people that have played for me, but people in the community, people in the athletic department. Ironically, when my wife and I were first deciding what our grandchildren would call us, the name, that is what we chose for me. Instead of grandpa or gramps, it's coach. Because our grandkids know that when they see me in the public, everybody else is going to be calling me coach, so why confuse it?
Good stuff. When we look at what you've done in Omaha and starting the program and, of course, the help with Dean Blaze at time and so many other people, but what did you see in Omaha? Being a University of Minnesota guy, and I grew up northern Minnesota, but what did you see in Omaha that you thought could really be a strong NCAA program?
Well, it was kind of funny because at the time when I was thinking about it, I was the associate head coach at the University of Wisconsin with Jeff Sauer, and I had a great job. I had my dream job, actually. I loved it. I loved every minute of it. I was there 14 years. Thought it was great. But I always wanted to be a Division I head coach. And when the opportunity came up, I came over and looked at it. I was already familiar with the athletic director at the time, Don Leahy, because I had my first year out of college and coached the club hockey team at UNO in 1975-76 for one basically 6 month period, and got to know him a little bit. And so there was a level of comfort, but it was an opportunity because when I came over here to interview for the job in 1996, they had already announced a program, but had not hired a coach, did not have a schedule, did not have any players, but had hired and announced a program and went on sale selling season tickets, and they sold season tickets for 16 days in May of 1996, 15 months or 16 months before the first game. And what happened was they sold over 6,000 season tickets for a game team that did not have a coach, did not have any players, did not have a schedule, and was still having a building that was being renovated so they could have ice in it before they could play a game. All of that indicated to me that there was enough interest here that we could make this thing a success.
Awesome. You know, I talk about that with the NHL, too. I look at Bill Foley and what he did in Vegas, and he went out and secured a number of season tickets. I think it was like 15,000 or 17,000, like $100 donations to show their commitment. And I spent 30 years in Arizona, Mike, and now I'm out in California for the most part. But when I was there, people, when I was asking me, why are the Coyotes never successful? And I said, in my opinion, that's what you have to do first. You have to get the buy-in from your fan base. And I don't think in 30-plus years in Arizona had an NHL franchise that they ever did that. And then you see what Lance Smith did in Utah. Immediately did the same thing. He's got like 27,000 people now that are committed. He's got nowhere near that exceeding, as you know. But that's important, isn't it?
Oh, it's critical, and that's what was the key to our success early on. When we started our first program in 1997-98 year, the first 7 years that we were at the Civic Auditorium, which was a building 8,314 seats, we sold out every game for 7 years straight in that building. And that gave us an identity. It helped us with recruiting. It helped us get started on a national level. We were 2 years, only 2 years as an independent when we were entered into the CCHA at that time. And we were attractive because they knew they were coming into a building that had the financial commitment, because we had the tickets sold, we had people in the building, we had a support staff, we had a tremendous support operation here.
Okay, so let's fast forward a little bit. The NCHC comes along, you become an inaugural member of that, and then we run into this thing called COVID, and you have to do whatever you have to do. And I know, because people have told me, that you were not going to let the college hockey season slip away if there was any way possible. And what you and the community of Omaha and the university and everybody involved did to put on the bubble or the environment that was secured, the pod, I guess is the official word. Tell me about that, and am I right in that you weren't going to let the season slip away because there was just way too many young men involved?
Yes, absolutely. And it was, you know, the credit really getting this organized was Josh Fenton, who was our commissioner of the NCHC at that time. His leadership, his vision. We were executing what his vision was. We worked very hard as a group of athletic directors at that time to get a plan. And luckily, the NHL had done what a great job they had done with their bubble, which gave us a framework kind of to study off of, to look at all of the different protocols they used to keep people safe, how they got it structured, how they operated it. And then we kind of tried to adapt it to what it would be in a college environment. We really worked with our surrounding community. We have like four hotels within a three-block radius of our arena, so we were able to work with them to block off full floors of the hotel and do all this, the catering and all the food that we needed for the teams, and be able to put numbers of teams safely in each hotel, operate those. It was a benefit, obviously, for our communities. We were generating revenue for hotels in our area and restaurants in our area that were not being able to cater to too many people at that time. And then we were able to follow the protocols and successfully play a 10-game schedule for every team in our league over a 30-day period of time between the last week of November and the week before Christmas. So, I mean, we were playing 2 to 3 games a day, having teams practice. Every team had their location, locker room location. I mean, it was a tremendous experience. I mean, we were sequestered there. I mean, my wife was a principal and they were still in school here. So to avoid either one of us infecting the other one, we separated. I stayed down in a hotel down where our team was located, right down off campus by the arena. My wife stayed at home, and we did everything we could to make it a success. And when I look back at it, it's one of those incredible opportunities within your life to do something really meaningful. And I really have taken such great pride in how that was executed.
Yeah, I would echo those thoughts. It was really something. When you look at the development of Omaha hockey to where it is right now, we talk about the fan base. We talk about Baxter Arena, which, by the way, you got a nice honor. They're going to put your name along with Don Leahy's signature on that rink, and it's now going to be known as Kemp Ice, correct?
That's what they tell me, yep. Very flattering, very flattering. I don't know that I've done enough to really deserve something like that, but it is certainly something that I'm very proud of.
Okay, so the Omaha Mavericks family has grown immensely, and what you're seeing right now, we talked about this a little bit earlier, but this schedule that Coach and you have put together, when you look at it, the guys get to go to Vegas for the icebreaker. They get to come to Coachella Valley here for just after the new year, and then you get to go earlier in the season to play Arizona State, which is a new member of the NCHC. That's kind of nice for recruiting, isn't it? You tell the guys you get to go to some warm weather.
It's tremendous. I mean, it really turned out, it's kind of like sometimes things just fall into place for you,
right?
And that is one of them, and for us, where we're located, a lot of our support has winter homes in those three vicinities. And so for us, it's kind of a great place for us to have stuff with our donors, to be able to do a lot of donor activities. It's really going to work out tremendously for us, and we're going to take every advantage we can of it.
When I say Arizona State joining the NCHC, was it a natural fit in your mind, Mike? Because the NCHC is such a core group of really good programs, really good universities. Did they fit the mold in your estimation?
Yeah, it's an interesting story because, you know, it was back, boy, I had to be about 2016, 17, right in that area, when we really took our first exam, really examination of their program. And at that time, they were playing in that Oceanside Arena, which was not the type of facility that we would put an NCHC program in. And so when they did that initial exploration of them as a member of the NCHC, we were really very cautious and very just kind of negative about it because of that. But we always knew that once they got a facility that was going to be a really comparable Division One facility, then they would be a very attractive member of our conference. It's an easy trip for almost every team in our league. We all have close to direct flights to Phoenix. It makes tremendous sense for us. They're a great brand. They have a tremendous alumni network across the entire country. So for us, it was really a no-brainer. Arizona State's a great addition to our conference. It was something that we were really in favor of once they got their facility up and running. And I think they're going to be a tremendous asset to the conference, tremendous opponent for all of us because they've got a very, very good program. And I think, you know, all of us are going to be looking forward. We're all going to want those January, February games in Phoenix so that we can go down there when it's in the middle of winter as opposed to fall or the spring.
We were already joking about CBS Sports Network. I'm sure they've already got their eyes on some games down there as well. But anyway,
they may do all their games from there for all we know.
Yeah, I hear you. Okay, a couple things I want to touch on. When you look at UNO and everything that it is, and playing in the NCHC and how strong that conference is and is now getting even stronger, I asked Coach Gabinet about this. Get my two coaches mixed up here. But anyway, I asked Coach Gabinet about that. I said, do you think schedule plays a role? And I know you don't have a whole lot of ways to manipulate a schedule, but I looked at your NCHC schedule in particular, and I saw where the two off weeks, bye weeks fell, and I said, boy, I think this is about perfect, if it could be at perfect. Your thoughts on that, and does that play a role at all, Mike?
Oh, it plays a huge role, and I think you hit the nail on the head. Sometimes it's just luck of the draw, and that this year was luck of the draw, because when you get into the conference schedule, that's spit out to us. We're just giving it to us. You know, we have chances to put a couple of home dates or away dates or specific off dates, but they don't always match up with what your expectations or your request was. It's just something I'll take into consideration. But this year's schedule, the way it's falling into place from a conference standpoint, it does fall into a really good place the way it, you know, gives us the off dates when it's most necessary or most appropriate. And I think that should be a benefit for us. The new pod system that we're going into in three teams pods is going to be an adjustment with Arizona State coming into the league. It'll be different than what we've had. You know, we've always played with travel partners with an unbalanced schedule, but you always played your travel partner home and away.
Sure.
So now for the first time, we're going to not play North Dakota four times in a year, which is going to be different. And we're actually going to lose North Dakota at home this year, which is really, it's a blow to us because they always travel so well and they come bring such a crowd when they come. You know, we love having them here. So, you know, those are some of the pluses and minuses of the new reality that we have. And until we get a 10th or a 12th team in here and get a balanced schedule, we'll be in this situation for the foreseeable future.
All right, I'm going to pat you on the back on this one too, kind of selfishly, but you played a big role in getting the NCAA regional tournament in Sioux Falls, which everybody says, hey, Omaha hosting in Sioux Falls, but it is what it is. You have to find the right venue and the right fit, and you guys did a fantastic job. Personally, I want to thank you because you allowed me to do something I didn't think I'd ever do. I covered two regionals, Sioux Falls and St. Louis, not completely, but I spent the whole time in Sioux Falls and then went to St. Louis for the championship game. But I didn't think I'd ever be able to do that out west, Mike, because there was never been regionals close enough where I could even make that 9-hour drive or whatever it is.
Yeah, well, that, you know, it's interesting. You know, it happened to be that when the bids came up, I was on the men's ice hockey committee. And, you know, it was, you know, you can't host in your own facility. In Omaha here, we were not in a situation where Century Lake or the CHI downtown, the big building, is not having ice anymore. Ralston Arena is a little too small to get that number, to make your numbers work and what you have to commit to the NCAA. And we kind of partnered up with the Sioux Falls Sports Authority. And we, you know, they were tremendous to work with. In fact, we're going to be hosting again there in 2026. And for us, it was just the perfect match, close enough to home. And for us, when I did it, you know, when I made the application for us to host with Sioux Falls, I did it with a sense in mind that, you know, if we were to get in the tournament that year, that's the only place they could send us. So it would be a home ice advantage for us to have some place where our fans could make it, or it would not be tremendous travel for our team. And that was kind of the mindset behind really making that application. But when it came to fruition, it was kind of like a beautiful thing that everything fell into place. We were there. It just turned out great. We had a great working group up there in Sioux Falls, and we're looking forward to doing it again in 26. We had a tremendous, brought quite a few of our own Baxter Arena employees up there to help us with operating of the event, and we're just so happy to do it. It was really fun.
Yeah, it really was. I thought you guys did a fantastic job, so kudos on that.
Well, thank you.
I want to ask you just a couple of more quick questions here on, and when I say quick questions, they're questions that could go on forever, so you don't need to do that, obviously. But when we look at growth, and I started this company, Mike, 8.5 years ago now, with the idea that I wanted to see growth in college hockey, and I thought if there's a way that I can put a spotlight by doing in-depth interviews with people, that's what I wanted to do. And I think sometimes I get a little frustrated. I started a little bit of a firestorm earlier this year on Twitter because I saw the record that ASU had, and I understand the pairwise and all that, but I thought, you know what? When people, and I'm sure you grew up on the same thought, when you grew up watching sports, you looked at the one-loss record. And I know it's difficult in college hockey specifically to do that, but to me it looked odd. When there's 23, 24-win teams that are in the top 15, and then one that's out at 20 and really has no chance. So I just kind of want to get your opinion on, since you were an independent at one time, what's the key to that? What's the key to growth? And is there a magic formula to get independents involved so that the student athletes are playing for a championship or at least have the opportunity to play for a championship?
Well, I think it's important. You know, obviously, when you start a program, you're going to have a period that is that you're going to have to be basically ineligible for the tournament.
Right.
But once that program goes through 2 years, I believe it's 2 years. It was when we started in Omaha, we had to sit 2 years before we'd be eligible to go to the NCAA. But I think you need to give teams a pathway. Now, certainly the pairwise allows that. So you have to do some very, if you're going to be an independent, you have to do some very creative scheduling to give your team an opportunity to get in, you know, get to the pairwise so you're in that. Because in this day and age with six automatic qualifiers, you've got to be in that 12 to 13 range to have even a hope to get in, because you can't really count on, you know, no upsets occurring in the playoffs. So you've got to figure there's going to be some upsets. So in order to make yourself safe, you've got to be in that environment. So it does become very difficult, particularly with the number of NCHC Hockey East Big Ten schools that are always going to be in a position, because of the strength of schedule, to be in those, they have multiple teams in that top 12, top 14 number. So it really does become difficult. You know, and while you hope that you can have an open field for everybody, the reality is sometimes it's just not going to work out that way, but that should not deter teams from starting and making the step to the Division I level. You know, in the last few years, we have had growth, more growth than we've seen in for over a long period of time, with the addition of Lindenwood, with the addition of Augustana, and with the addition of Stonehill, and now Utica, and there are other teams on the horizon. And I think that those are all going to be positives. We just have to continue as a body to work to encourage more teams to make that next step. You know, there are so many teams playing at a high level at the club hockey level that there are so many attractive universities that could make that step if they just would find the wherewithal to get the community support to generate the revenue they're going to need to support that program. But that would be, you know, that's the key to us to growth, is making sure we find these ripe club teams that are going to be in a position, both from a Title IX issue and from a community support issue, that they can afford to make the step to the big time.
I think you get a kick out of this. You probably know it, but we cover ACHA hockey as well, and I have a chance to visit with Gary Astolas at Adrian College. And I always get done talking with Gary, and I say, you know, if anybody ever comes up to me and says something can't be done, I'm going to point them directly to Adrian. I don't know if you're familiar with this, but they have seven college hockey teams, four men, three women, four figure skating programs, and Mike, they have one ice surface, one cheap. And in that community, that place is spotless. I mean, they must work tirelessly around the clock to do it, but everybody's got their own locker room. Everybody's got their own separate identity within the Adrian brand. So in my estimation, I'm guessing you feel the same way, is like, if there's a will, there's a way, correct?
Absolutely. And they're a perfect example of how you can manage multiple programs within a facility. And that's not an easy thing to do. That's very difficult, but that's really impressive.
Okay. Final one for you is this nasty thing. I think it's nasty. They call the portal. it came into existence because of COVID, I think, is really why it came into existence. But your thoughts when you look at it from 35,000 feet now, kind of outside of it just a little bit, is it a good thing for college hockey, Mike, or is it something that's got to be curtailed a little bit now that the COVID years are done, supposedly?
And now you're asking a guy who's started coaching 48 years ago and who has really built his entire recruiting career, coaching career, on loyalty, commitment, dedication. So I have a real difficult time with it because it's not what I believe in. But that being said, it is here to stay, I believe. At least, you know, there will be tweaks to it. I think there has to be, because I mean, even pro sports, a player commits to a contract, and he has a 3-year contract. He has to play out that 3-year contract.
Right.
So now we're bringing in student athletes and saying there's no contract. You know, the school has a contract with the player. They have a scholarship, which is that contract, and that's signed, and you can't take it away for that 1 year. It's a 1-year renewable contract. The athletes then at the end of that 1 year can say, well, I'm out of here. So the investment you make in recruiting, development, education, just in the operation of the year, the hundreds of thousands of dollars per team, per player, it ends up going by the wayside, and every year you're re-recruiting. Well, that's not a sustainable model. You know, there has to be some form of commitment both ways that says, oh, I'm going to be, it's a 3-year deal, it's a 2-year deal, it's a 4-year deal, and that's the way it has to be. Otherwise, I think if you have to re-recruit your team every year, you know, you're re-recruiting the players that are on your team, you're re-recruiting all the players that are in the portal that you might have recruited, didn't get the first time, so you're taking a shot at it the second time. It is unhealthy for the coaches. It is confusing for the fan base. And I think it's not helping young people today to grow up, to understand difficulty and challenge, and to accept the fact that, you know, I might have to work a little harder to get what I really want, as opposed to go to the next place that is offering me an opportunity. You know, I just don't know that we're, you know, I don't think we're mirroring real life in college athletics. athletics today as we were previously. And I think, as a guy who's, all I really wanted to do when I went into coaching was just to help shape lives. Now I don't think we're doing justice to that mission.
Mike, I'll leave you on this one. When I went to college at Minnesota Duluth way back in the 80s.
I grew up three blocks away from there.
Small world. But anyway, when I went there on a golf scholarship, and at that time, 1980 to 84, if you wanted to leave, it was nearly impossible. You committed, and the coach committed, and you found ways to work it out. And I was telling my co-host the other day on a show, I said, I think college hockey coaches now are even having a deeper conversation with parents and players about, listen, I'm investing in you, and I want to know if you're invested with me. Is that a fair assessment right now, even more than maybe in the past?
Absolutely, it has to be. It is with those programs that do a great job of communicating with their student athletes, with their parents, and with their agents, let's be honest. And, you have to form those kind of bonds. And I think that's, again, a great example of Coach Gavinet. Now, you look at the number of the fifth-year guys that we had back last year for their COVID year that could have left, could have gone someplace else, could have signed, could have transferred, but stayed. Your Matt Millers, your Jack Randalls, your Kirby Proctors, those guys that stuck around that performed, your Nolan Sullivans that formed the culture and formed the core of your team. When you do that kind of a job of communicating, of building trust, of building culture, like Coach Gavinet's done, that's why you see those kids stay around. We're having that experience again this year. Our last COVID group, Jimmy Glenn, Brock Bremer, Nolan Krenzen, and those guys are sticking around to help sustain that kind of momentum that we've had in our program the last several years.
And that's truly buy-in to Maverick hockey. I've seen it all over the place. So congratulations on that. Congratulations on the NCHC Distinguished Service Award. Well deserved. I know. I know it's a big honor and an honor that you don't take lightly. But if you can just finish us up by telling us how important that is for the conference, especially in this time of turbulence, I guess, and growth and changes in conference, to be one of seven, I think, if I've got that right, that have that award.
Yeah, it's like you say, it's tremendously humbling. To be in a conference as strong as the NCHC with a commitment to hockey, the way we have it in our conference, and to be recognized by my peers as someone who is deserving of recognition of contributions to the sport that I've lived my life. I mean, my whole life has been spent in hockey. To me, it is incredibly humbling and one of those awards that I just... I cherish, and I will cherish for the rest of my life because, I'm acknowledged along with so many of the peers that I have respected so much over the years. So to me, it's a great honor.
Mike, thanks so much for taking the time. I know I kept you longer than I thought I would, but we could go on for hours, and hopefully we'll catch up again a few more times during the season. Enjoy the retirement. I know it's not really retirement. It's just maybe staying out of the office a little bit. But enjoy time with the grandkids down at the lake, okay?
I will be having a great time there, and I look forward to seeing you in Palm Springs.
Absolutely.
I guess it'll be Vegas first.
Yep, Vegas first, Palm Springs, and I'm getting to Baxter this year. I promise you that because I got to see that new Kemp Ice.
Well, please, let me know if we'll go out to dinner.
Absolutely, Mike. Thanks so much for spending some time with us on Omaha Week.
Thanks very much. Appreciate it.
All right, that's Coach Kemp, we can call him, and we'll always call him from Omaha. As we continue Omaha Week, Paul and I will be right back to wrap up another episode in just a few minutes.
Okay, Paul. It probably is a lot longer to you than it was for me when I was recording that. It just seemed to fly by. This time, I'm taking it all in, listening to it again. Pretty incredible stuff from Coach Kemp.
Well, here's the thing, right? I kind of went into it, and I heard some things. And, like, if we can't get Frank Serratori to be the czar, Might be a pretty good alternative. And I thought, like I said, that when the interview ended, I was going to touch on some things, on one thing. And then, you know, I kind of heard him talk about, you know, 2-year, 3-year deal. Well, maybe that's a way to kind of facilitate, you know, an idea. You can, you know, when you go, if the coach, if the player and the coach agree that 1 year is okay, then you do it 1 year. If you are a player and the coach and you guys agree to 2 years or three, maybe that's the way to go to kind of mitigate some of this portal craziness.
Can I tell you, I think that's already in place. Well, hey, it's late.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway, I told you, David Carl does that.
Well, I mean, officially, like on the record.
Yeah, okay, I get it. But he kind of does that already. He talks with his players and he says, okay, where do you want to be? Where do we think you're going to be? Where does your agent/advisor think you should be? And when they bring this all together, they formulate, okay, X is going to be here for 3 years. X is going to be here a full 4 year. X is going to be a grad student. X is going to be a one and done. I mean, you have to kind of plan that out if you're doing your job. And I think Mike Gabonet is doing that. And I think the teams that are struggling in this maybe aren't doing that. Maybe they're just happy to get a player or two of a certain caliber. And it's like, you know what? We hope we can keep him. But if he goes, he goes type of thing. And I think you're right. I think maybe that would be a good idea is sit down and get these commitments. And I'm sure that those conversations are happening right now with coaches and players and agents and parents and all of them to let them know that you can't just step up and walk away anytime.
Well, yeah, I get that. And by the way, somebody else that's saying, hey, we have to help these independents and make them as strong as possible. Are you listening, you people? Are you listening, college hockey world? That's not us saying it. That's Mike Kemp.
Yeah, and he's a good one to go to, I think, because he was an independent. He talked about how they didn't have the facility and everything, and the, you know, they had to remodel to get better ice and then ultimately get to Baxter Arena. He talked about all that. So he's been there. He's been right in those shoes. He's waited the 2-year period to be able to play in a tournament. He saw it through. But I still think, Paul, it comes right down to this. You have to, if you're going to be successful, you got to go out, and Mike said this, go out in the community and get commitments. Get financial commitments.
I understand that.
Even if it's $100.
I get that.
You got to get them to buy in.
I understand that. I get that. They had that in Huntsville.
Yeah, well, then you got to have your... I don't think they did have that. They had a number of people that stepped up and put some good money in. But
okay,
I'm talking
well,
about a 5 or 6 or 7 or 10,000 base where you go out and you say, are you interested? If
well,
you are,
let's
put
it this way.
$100 and sign right here.
They raised the money that they were told they needed to raise.
I get it.
So
but
I don't, again. I'm just saying they did what they were told to do, and then we're not going to do this without a league.
Yeah, well, that's your disconnect between your administration and things that you need to have to make it all work. But I told him flat out, I think that's been the whole problem in NHL hockey in Arizona is they never went
and cultivated that
base. Never.
Well. We
never did.
We could spend an entire summer talking about that.
Well, I know that. But what I'm saying is if you want to grow the game of college hockey, and we certainly want to see it grow, you need to get out there and find places for these guys to play, i.e. leagues. I know you hate the thought of or don't think it's important for even and odd numbers, but Mike said it again. It's going to be different this year. With pods, and he can't wait till there's 10 or 12, because that way you can schedule more effectively. The fact that they're not going to have North Dakota in their building this year is going to hurt. It's going to hurt the ticket sales.
I guess. I mean,
so that type of thing is important. So NCHC, if you've got 9 teams, hello, there's room for a 10th.
Listen, we again, the whole summer to get into that.
I know. I just want to throw it out there. Mike was fantastic. Both Mikes.
Yep.
Mike times two tonight for Omaha Hockey. Thank them so much. Thank Austin Rush, their great SID, for facilitating everything, and for those guys for taking the time. And hopefully we did them justice as we end College Hockey West Weekly on the Omaha Week. So we'll look forward to another team hopefully next week. I'm working on those as we go. And unless you got something else, we'll say goodnight.
From the NCHC.TV studios, College Hockey West Weekly is brought to you by Jesse Ray's Barbecue in Las Vegas, the best in barbecue Las Vegas style. Go to jesseraysbarbecue.com to order lunch, cater an event, or pick up a few bottles of our award-winning sauces. By the NCHC and NCHC.TV, subscribe to NCHC.TV and catch all of the action from the toughest conference in college hockey. Tag Creative Group, search T. Grand Rudd on redbubble.com and have us create that unique design for your business or gift-giving needs. The Spaghetti Shack, classic Italian comfort food quickly, 3 locations, 2 in Tempe, 1 in Pine Top at thespaghettishack.com. Caesars Entertainment Resorts, casinos worldwide, it's where the action is, in the resort or in town. FedEx, the official package delivery company of Icetime Hockey West. Liberty University, hockey, education, and faith with equal passion at liberty.edu. College Hockey Inc., your NCAA hockey resource. College Hockey West Weekly and all of the IcetimeHockeyWest.com podcasts are live on the Podbean app. Help others find the podcast by subscribing, rating, and reviewing the shows at ITHSW Podcasts, all one word. That's ITHSW Podcasts on your favorite podcast platform. College Hockey West Weekly and all of our weekly podcasts are part of the IcetimeHockeyWest.com network.
Very well done, my friend. We will say if you miss this live show, listen to it, tell your friends about it. This is a fantastic example of what college hockey is all about. Everybody in Omaha should be proud of what they have. I know they are. I know it's everyone for Omaha, as they like to say. So, again, our thanks to Coach Gabs and Coach Kemp for spending some time with us. And we'll talk to everybody on Sunday. Good night, everybody.